The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. We're going to talk about his power, not ours. Good idea there. His power, not ours. Plus, small faith yesterday, bigger faith today. Isn't that nice how that would work? And if all goes well and technologically the phones work and those hellos happen, we will be welcoming William Hyland, who's the author of the book George Mason, the founding father who gave us the Bill of Rights, right here on the David Spoon Experience.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. I'm feeling better today, so that's good. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation. We like praise reports. We like praying for people. We like some of those things. But if you got something that's on your mind, we're glad to talk to you about it. We have no problem. Sometimes calling in a new show, a little intimidating. It gets that way, which is why we kind of do the trivia, kind of make it a little softer. But just keep in mind, it's not professional radio. This is our third month doing David Spoon Media. Not the third month for the radio show, but third month doing the whole project. And I think we're in our almost at our second month. I think that'll be Monday for the radio show. And guess what? We're not perfect. That's a flash, a news flash. Ding, 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 ding. Breaking news. David Spoon is not perfect. You win a prize. Anyway, it's not professional. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. So the show has not been known for controversy. And we have somebody coming on at 2:30 that's not really controversial. He wrote a fantastic book, George Mason, the founding father who gave us the Bill of Rights. It's William Hyland, Jr. I have researched this book, spent more time doing it this afternoon than prior, but I have jumped into the depth of it. There is some unbelievable material, which I have to ask him questions for, but he is an attorney. And so I'm interested because guess who responded to Dave after Dave set out the gauntlet in Wisconsin? So the Freedom From Religion Foundation got back to Dave, who said, what is the matter with you people in Wisconsin that you don't like crosses? And how does that impact you when you are all the way over there in Wisconsin and we're in Texas? But they did get back to me, and I give them props for that, because most of the time when you'll make a comment like that, they don't want to talk to you. They don't want to have anything to do with you. So anyway, a wonderful young lady, I'll just call her wonderful young lady, Christina Deladin, she got back to me. And what I'm going to do is we're going to try and work something out where they can come on the show and share what their point of view is. And I'm not going to sit there and rip them to smithereens, because that's not the intent. The intent is to understand why it's so offensive and what is it they're trying to accomplish. So they're trying to separate all faith images from the people who serve in public office. And if that's the case, are they trying to separate the people? Because if you're a person of faith, how do you do something and separate your faith from it? See, I can't do that, and I want to know how they want people to do that. So I find that fascinating. And so hopefully we'll have a conversation. It'll be normal, and it won't get bizarre. At the same time, while William Hyland jumps on board, who just wrote this book on George Mason, I may ask him live, unbeknownst to him, if he wants to join me in that conversation, since he is a writer, an historian, and an attorney who's committed to the process of allowing faith to be a part of things. Wouldn't that be a fascinating conversation? You have one attorney who thinks that faith is supposed to be incorporated, and another attorney who thinks that faith is not supposed to be incorporated. Wow. We'd almost call that radio. Wow. So we'll see what happens there. Additionally, for those that have a really hard time with some of the different leaders that are in Christendom, I'm going to tell you right now, that does not mean I won't have them on the show. So let's just understand one another. The goal of this show is not just to give me a venue for sharing, although it is part of that. It is also an opportunity for Christians to hear from other people in other faiths, in other understandings, and to make sure they know where they're coming from as opposed to it being couched in any particular way. We also have different evangelists who are going to be on the show. Some of you will like them and some of you won't, but you should still hear what they have to say to see if it's valid or invalid. One of the people, so you already know we've had James Robeson on. There's not a lot of people that dislike James Robeson. He's 75-year-old firehouse for God. Everybody loves that. We have Dr. Jeffress, Dr. Tony Evans, going to be hopefully a part of the show. We're working to touch base with Pastor Morris in regards to him coming on the show. We also have some people that we're working with, evangelist Andrew Farley, who just wrote a book, going to be hopefully on the show, I think next week or the week after. And you're thinking, well, I don't know if I agree with all these people. I don't know if I agree with them either. I don't know if I agree with you. I don't know if I agree with me 20 years ago. Here's what I know. I know that between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21, God wrote a book. And I'm one of those people that is exceedingly annoying about this point. If he created the universe, he can write a book. Now, the Iliad has 613 historical documented copies to attest to its truthfulness. The New Testament, by the way, that's the second most historically evidenced book. The New Testament has over 20,000 copies that attest to its validity of its historical witness. So I'm really confident that not only is it historically obvious, but it is faith practically obvious that if God wants to write something, he can. I understand that there are churches that think church history should be their authority, but I think they're wrong. And the reason that they're wrong is because church history has shown a few very specific things, and that is the church sometimes gets nutsy cuckoo. But the scripture is the scripture. It doesn't change in the sense that it is written by God, it is breathed upon from God, and that's what we can go from. Now, I don't really have a difficulty people interpreting scripture differently than I do if they're genuinely seeking the Lord and trying to get that answer. I really have a problem with people that manipulate scripture to make their political points. I can't stand that. It drives me absolutely bonkers. One time I was watching television. I don't know why I'm going into this, but I'm just going to tell you. So one time I'm watching television, and I'm not going to say which cable news outlet it was, but it was the one that before they went wild used to be semi-interesting to watch. And I'm not going to tell you which cable news it is, but it has NBC in it plus two letters in front of it. Okay? And they might be MS. I can't remember. But here's the bottom line. They had a theologian on from Princeton. And I was like, all right, a theologian from Princeton. I mean, a guy that's teaching people at the upper echelon of education. That's going to be fascinating. Guy gets on there and says, well, Jesus never said he was the Messiah. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what a dope. What do you mean he never said he was the Messiah? Have you never read John 4 when he was talking to the woman at the well and he said, I am he? Does that not mean he is he? When she was referring to the Messiah, Jesus goes, I'm the guy. I think that pretty much solves that. I can give you a host of other examples, but my point is, look, scripture first. But freedom in understanding that some people's eschatology could be different. Certainly there's a difference between Baptists and Pentecostals, but that should not be a matter of fellowship. If you don't like expressionary worship, or you don't think that people speaking in a foreign language, whether you think it's made up or not, if you think, well, that's not for me, great. And if you think that's for you, great. How can you make that anywhere near the blood of Jesus Christ? How can you do it? It's almost reprehensible that the church will take an issue like spiritual gifts and make that divisionary when we're talking about the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That everything in the Old Testament points towards Jesus and everything from the New Testament points back towards Jesus, and that's the focal point in the center. It's at the cross. You want to have a difference in what kind of shirts you wear, what kind of cars you drive, what kind of Mexican food you think is the best, what kind of movies you enjoy? Fine. You want to have a difference of opinion on whether your church dresses up or dresses down, if you should have bratwursts for your picnic or everybody should eat the exact same? Fine. All that's fine and dandy. Those aren't your enemies. The people that hate Jesus Christ, those are your enemies. And you're supposed to love them. How do you love them, Dave? Just by being nice? How about by telling them the truth? If you really loved some of your enemies, you would tell them, hey, this is the truth, and if you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. That's called love. Discipline is love. Have you read Hebrews chapter 12, where God says he disciplines those he loves? That's all a part of it. Why am I getting on that tear? I have no idea. Somebody out there needed to hear it. Or I needed to hear it. I don't know. But we're going to bring different people on and give them a chance to talk. Give them a chance to weigh it out. And your faith should be secure enough and strong enough where if you disagree, you can disagree without thinking, I hate that person because I disagree. After all, if you're a Dallas fan and you like the Dallas Stars and you're an extremist, you won't be watching any more hockey. And if that's the case, man, you're missing some great hockey. That's all I'm saying. Don't be that way. Let's be more mature. Let's be more Christ-like in this process. All right, we come back. I'm actually going to do a specific teaching. I promise it's coming. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Just as I am,
you reach down and see me. Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio. Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
The deterioration of the ecosystem or creation itself is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve, and if you want me to use it, you are in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve, and if you want me to really say it, you are in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey! You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I need 2 hours. I'm sorry. I could just see 2 hours. I could just look at Wonder Julie's face. 2 hours? Dude, this hour is so long. It's my last hour. Give me a break. Well, what if we went like 1 to 3? No, that would be hard, huh? She's just smiling. She's just ignoring me. I don't blame her. Let's see. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. Email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. I do actually have, I'm going to wait on my trivia question because we actually have a guest who's going to be, we're supposed to call, and I don't know that that's going to work. But I do have a good one. I have a good one, so just hold on. Just hang in there because I don't think I can pull it off fast enough. But let us get into something that is really important, and that is understanding what today is. We have a big thanks to give Ruth Graves Wakefield. Does everybody know who Ruth Graves Wakefield is? In 1937, working for a company called Toll House, she was the one that helped coordinate the chocolate chip. That's right. So today is National Chocolate Chip Day. Yes! You know what I do? And we drink sleepy tea at night. You ever drink sleepy tea? We drink sleepy tea. But unfortunately, because I am so bad with sweets, unlike Wonder Julie, I actually have white chocolate chips that I put in my sleepy tea. So I'm having a sugar rush at the exact same time that I'm having a calm down effect, which pretty much keeps me balanced. For those that don't understand, that's as balanced as I'm going to get. Sugar and then calm me downy stuff. That's as close as it's going to get. Let's go in. I want to go right into this teaching because I never got it was something that I missed. I've been going through Matthew. If you haven't noticed, as I go through Matthew, I'm really doing this in my devotions, and I keep getting different things, and then we have to skip around depending on what's going on. And in Matthew, there was a section that I came across, and I didn't get to talk about it, and I'd like to talk about it. It's when he comes down from the mountain, from the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. In verse 14, it says this: when they arrived at the foot of the mountain, a huge crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, because he has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." Jesus replied, "You stubborn, faithless people. How long must I be with you until you believe? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. And from that moment, the boy was well. Afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we cast out that demon?" You didn't have enough faith, Jesus told him. I assure you, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible. All right. So again, another scripture that's been abused, used and abused, and too lightly used at the same time. I want to talk about this experience that Jesus has when he comes down from the mountain. Remember, he's on the Mount of Transfiguration, comes down from the mountain. They've just been up there. Moses and Elijah had appeared. Peter, James, and John were there. They're like, oh, Moses, oh, it's Moses, oh, it's Elijah. Oh, we'll build you three tents. Oh, you know, getting all excited. And so the Father declares Jesus as priority. Listen to him. This is my son. Listen to him. They're coming down the mountain. Jesus makes mention of Elijah. We're going to talk about that later on. Talking about, they say, why does Elijah first have to come? He's like, don't tell anybody. Da, 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 da. They get down the mountain, and what happens? They arrive in the front of the mountain. There's a whole crowd around them. And there's a guy there, and he's like, my son is sick. He throws himself into the fire and into the water. There's a lot of commentators that would say fire and water, two extremes, kind of illustrated it was demonic. Perhaps. I don't know. That could be true. But what I can tell you is that the guy brings the kid to the disciples, and the disciples could not heal the young child. All right? Here is something that is important. Jesus replies, you stubborn, faithless people. For everybody that thinks that Jesus went around giving the peace symbol and wearing a tie-dye shirt, I just encourage you to check out the area of the temple where Jesus cleared out the temple, not just the temple, the people who were sitting at the tables, but the customers as well, drove out the animals with a whip. People, Jesus is a pacifist. This does not qualify. It's like he drives everybody out. This is a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves, and kicks everybody out. Yeah, that's very pacifistic. Or not. So I want you to see that there are times that Jesus expresses genuine, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to use the word frustration, but maybe irritation could be good. And I think it is fair to say that there are times we irritate God. I think that's a fair statement. And I can say that from Malachi chapter 2, where it says, you have wearied me with your words. And so the Lord's like, you're wearying me with what you're saying. Okay. And I think here Jesus kind of expresses that same spirit when he's like, you stubborn and faithless people, how long must I be with you until you believe? That word faithless people means generations. It's not specifically only to the disciples, although some people think it is. I think that's really incorrect. I think he's talking about all people. It's like, how long do I got to be with you human beings who just don't get any of this? You're stubborn, you're faithless, you don't listen. Man, you're irritating. And if you don't think that you're irritating to God, just one, consider this show being irritating to you, and then you'll know that irritation exists. And then two, consider how you are irritating to your parents, and perhaps consider sometimes how your kids were irritating to you. And you'll understand irritation is something that is in the human existence. But what's amazing is the mindset. Hey, we brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. That's right. And you know what? If somebody comes to you and asks for prayer and you pray for them and that person gets healed, that's fantastic. But you didn't do the healing. And anybody who gets on a stage and claims they're doing the healing is anti-biblical and anti-Christian, because only the power of Jesus Christ brings about the healing. It is in his broken body that the healing is found. Let me just so you make sure you don't get too weird on me, Acts chapter 3, verse 11, while the beggar held on to Peter and John and all the people were astonished, they came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we've made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus. Did you get that? Now listen to what he says. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Here's the key. You might be a vessel used by the Lord. You might have fantastic gifts that the Lord has poured through your system, but you own none of them. Any gift that God allows you to participate with is a gift of his grace, using you as a vehicle. You are not the owner. You are the vessel. God is all of the gasoline, all of the water, all of the food, all of the time. And the reason that I bring that up is because we have to keep a right place. Look, I'm not a person that is opposed to praying for people to get healed. I just think it's very dangerous to go out there and say, here's my top hat, I get a trophy, I'm a healer. Okay, Jesus is the healer, and I would love to be the vessel. And I don't think there's anything wrong with anybody. Doesn't matter what denomination, saying, Lord, you know, heal this person, and offering your faith with that person and having even more faith than that person and watching that person get touched. Somebody said something that I'm going to quote, and you might get irritated by, but I still love it. I would rather this person said, pray for 100 people and watch 5 people get healed, 10 people get healed, 1 person get healed, than pray for nobody and watch nobody get healed. Like that, yeah. How do you argue with that? Like, okay, I agree with that. But I just want to make sure we understand where that power comes from. That power is God's power. That salvation is coming as a gift from God. This is all his. And we are just fortunate participants. But that shouldn't stop you from asking for help. That shouldn't stop you from asking God to heal. That shouldn't stop you from praying for somebody to be healed. My wife has a really real problem with her thumb lately. So we've been praying the Lord to heal her, and we'll just keep praying. And we'll go to the doctor again, and we'll keep praying, and we'll keep doing it, and keep doing it, and keep doing it, and keep going after it. And perhaps one day God will go, fine, bing, done. I hope so. But I'm not going to put a top hat on and get some tap shoes on and go dancing across a desk and go, look at me, look at me, look at me. Hercules, Hercules. I mean, come on. This is the Lord. We know the Lord is powerful. He's great. He's merciful. He's kind. And he does heal. You know he heals. If he didn't heal, how did you get saved? He healed you from your spiritual deficiencies for you to get saved. Of course he's still doing that. Is it the same program? I don't know if it's the same program, but there's programs that seem to keep working. Theologically, you can argue all you want, but you know what God loves? Faith. God just loves, I'm just going to believe. Okie dokie, let's see where that goes. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll come back. Don't go anywhere.
My life, it feels like I've been running.
Wow, look at that hail!
Wow, look at my neighbor's car.
Wow, look at your roof!
Uh-oh, it's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly, he's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED, because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right, let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs. Whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections, I'll call John at 469-BLESSED or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered, because reliability starts at the top.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. and you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Real estate. It's a bear out there. You don't want to list your home for too little, and you don't want to buy a home for too much. You need the just right solution. You may be wondering what your house is worth and who can give you the service you deserve. If you're looking for a partner in your home sale, a person who will treat you and your home like family, then get in touch with Pam. There's a great deal of blood, sweat, and tears that went into your home. You should work with someone who understands and appreciates that. You should work with Pam. To call and talk to her is free. To have a consultation is free. To gain a partner in this venture is precious. Don't delay. Call Pam today. 817-505-5541 or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
This is an agent with some real common sense and zeal. She has a great attitude while also being very nice and friendly. Pamela has a great amount of experience and education, but more than that, she's just real.
Pam Melchione, 817-505-5541, or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, you want to reach the show, a couple ways to do that. Website, davidspoonmedia.com, Facebook, David Spoon Media, YouTube, David Spoon Media, email, davidspoonmedia@gmail, and smoke signals, David Spoon Media. I think that'll probably work. On the phone with us, at first we couldn't get through, but then we were able to get through. He did call back, so that's good news. We have William Hyland, who is the author of George Mason, the founding father who gave us the Bill of Rights. William, are you there with us? Oh, I got to push the button. Forgive me for that. Okay, let me ask you that again. Are you there with us?
I am here.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. I apologize for not pushing the button. In the old radio world, I never had to push a button. So they've challenged me, and I've taken a couple of master level classes for it, and I failed. So I'm really working to get it done. Talk to me about this book. I have a bunch of questions, and I hope you have some time, and I really appreciate you taking the time to jump on board. Before we get anywhere, I want to make sure you have a chance to promote the book. So let's do a 1 or 2 minute, give it people an idea of the book and where they can get the book, you know, how they can access the book.
Sure. The book is called George Mason, the Founding Father, who gave us the Bill of Rights. It came out last week, published by Reaganry History Books. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and it's also an Audible book, so it's available everywhere.
Did you do the Audible part yourself? Did you have somebody narrate? Just out of curiosity.
No. Someone narrated for Vance Press, I believe, and did a great job on it. I just heard it last week.
Awesome. Congratulations on that, and congratulations on the book. What led you? I mean, when you get into the book, you understand it, and correct me if anything I say is wrong, but when you get into it, it seems like George Mason did not get the proper respect due him. Is that pretty accurate?
That is absolutely accurate. You know, America was woven together by three revered pieces of political paper: the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. George Mason basically wrote the blueprint for all three of those documents. He wrote the words and coined the words life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness a month before Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence. And Jefferson basically borrowed heavily from his Virginia Declaration of Rights to write the blueprint for the Declaration of Independence. So Mason does not get credit for really the Declaration of Independence, but it was his first draft that really ultimately led to the Declaration of Independence. And 12 years later, the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments.
You know, I find it, that was one section that, and I've got, like I said, I got a multitude of questions, so I'm hoping you can hang with us for a little bit. But I find it absolutely fascinating that he wrote that about the life and the liberty and the pursuit of happiness, because in society today, it seems as though they've changed that to, you know, life, liberty, and the provision of happiness. And it's like, wait, I thought it was the pursuit, the ability to seek it and pursue it through ownership of land and through different mentalities like that, not we're just going to fill all your little coffers with all your little happy pills. Am I wrong on that? Or is that Mason's mentality was, we're going to give you opportunity?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. His pursuit of happiness really was free from intrusion from the federal government. He was all about individual rights, individual liberties. And that's one of the reasons he was one of three men who did not sign the Constitution, because it did not have a formal Bill of Rights attached to it. So his definition of pursuit of happiness was the individual right of expression, individual right of free exercise of religion. That was his definition of the pursuit, really, of happiness, individual liberties.
Was that one of the reasons, and I'm just making that connection, but was that one of the reasons that he didn't get the props, is because he didn't sign?
He did not really get the public recognition at the time, but he was very, very well respected in his own day. But Jefferson and Madison really get the credit. Jefferson, of course, for the Declaration of Independence, but it was basically Mason's blueprint from the Virginia Declaration of Rights that he wrote a month before the Declaration of Independence that Jefferson used for his declaration. And the Declaration of Rights that Mason wrote in 1776 was almost verbatim 12 years later for the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights. People don't know that Mason basically wrote the precursor to the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, Fourth Amendment, to be secure from search and seizure. These were Mason's words that ultimately became our most cherished document, the Bill of Rights.
Wow. I mean, that is very deep. Let me ask you this. What brought you then, as a researcher, a historian, to pursue him? In other words, what caught your attention? Were you aware of this prior to your research, or is this the materials you discovered as you jumped into it?
It was really my first book was a biography of Thomas Jefferson called In Defense of Thomas Jefferson. And when I was researching that book, I found out that one of the mentors to Jefferson was George Mason. So I became interested in Mason, and really growing up in Northern Virginia, I visited his home, Gunston Hall. But when I had a chance to read his Virginia Declaration of Rights and some of his other papers, I was just amazed and astounded, because these are the words that were taken directly for the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the first 10 amendments to the Bill of Rights. These were taken exactly, almost verbatim, from Mason's Virginia Declaration of Rights, even though he doesn't get the credit for it.
When you, I mean, just as a researcher, when you discovered that, did you just like go, wow? I mean, were you just like, was that just an amazing moment in your life where you were like, wait a second, nobody even knows this?
Yeah, no, it really was, because you think of Jefferson as, you know, the author and coining those words, but he actually borrowed those words, and Mason actually wrote those words a month before Jefferson's words. And as I got more into it, I discovered that Mason had just an incredible talent and gave us some of the most important phrases in our history. For example, he inserted high crimes and misdemeanors into the impeachment clause. He gave us the definition of treason, aid and comfort to the enemy. These were Mason's own words, and he really does not get credit for these monumental documents that he wrote.
Wow, I had no idea. I didn't. Let me ask you a question in the book, around page 257-ish. I think that's the end of the chapter on the slow poison. You talk about slavery, and the slavery was just not something that they, I don't know if it's just something that they couldn't figure out how to deal with. You know, as a guy who's a Bible guy, so I'm much more oriented towards faith. I look at the Old Testament, I look at the New Testament and the culture of the time, and the slavery mentality they had then was so different than what America engaged in. I mean, it's just like two different planets. In fact, in the Old Testament, if you kidnapped somebody as a slave, you would get the death penalty. So, I mean, it's like, wait, that is not even close to where, you know, we ended up as a nation. Was this something that Mason knew was coming and couldn't do anything about? Or was just this beyond everybody because of the enormous part of it, the financial part of it? What was going on there?
It was slavery was really a question that was beyond their generation. As I said, one of the reasons that he did not sign the Constitution was because it did not have a Bill of Rights, but it also sustained slavery, the importation of slaves, for another 20 years. And Mason just could not stomach that compromise in the Constitution. And that's one of the reasons he did not sign the Constitution. But he came up with a plan basically for the emancipation eventually of slavery and slaves, but he could not figure out a way to do it economically in his generation. So he basically wrote in his papers and his letters to his nine children, this is an issue that your generation is going to have to solve.
Wow. Wow. And even if you look at it today, there's a lot of not solved going on is still in the process. Let me ask you this. This is probably more personal that you as a researcher would know much more than somebody even who's going to go through the book. But he did have multiple children. And in the book and under the picture section, which I thought was really cool, you mentioned that John Mason was his closest child. Is that correct?
That was. He was one of the youngest children, but he was the one who accompanied him to Philadelphia for the Constitutional Convention in 1787. And John Mason's recollections, his memoirs, were just a very valuable research tool talking about Mason, about his mother, about the family, about Gunston Hall. So that was a treasure trove of research materials.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent job, by the way. I mean, this book, I mean, I'm just saying, it's not a small book, and it had to just take an enormous amount of research. I appreciate your acknowledgments at the end, because, you know, it's hard to get to a book and go through all the way and keep going. And I think you did a fabulous job. Let's mention again, George Mason, the founding father who gave us the Bill of Rights. And really, a big part of this premise is him not getting the credit where credit is due, which is ironic since that's a passage where it mentions credit where credit is due. What, when somebody reads this, what do you want them to walk away with? And it's a standard question, but it is important because it's a historical book. What do you want them to walk away with when they read it?
Well, I really, you know, history has really consigned Mason to the second tier of historical significance, but really, quite simply, given the length and breadth of his political writings and influence, I think his name should be more recognizable in the public domain and certainly in the same conversation with Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and Alexander Hamilton. So I would like him elevated in the public opinion, really, to their status, because if Jefferson was a genius, which he was, then Mason was a near genius with his political writings.
Yeah. Well, that's well said, man. Great, great way to say that. And I think you've done a good job of bringing that, opening that door and putting that first step there for that to be accomplished. So congratulations to you on that. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get this book Amazon, anywhere online you can get this. It comes from Regnery, but you can go to Amazon. It's the easiest way to do it, and type in George Mason, the founding father who gave us the Bill of Rights, by William G. Hyland Jr. Sorry about that one. And great job on the radio interview, and I really appreciate you taking the time and hanging out with us this afternoon.
Thanks for your time. Thanks for having me.
Our privilege. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience. We're going to take a short break and then come back. We got more teaching to go, so don't go anywhere.
Real estate. It's a bear out there. You don't want to list your home for too little, and you don't want to buy a home for too much. You need the just right solution. You may be wondering what your house is worth and who can give you the service you deserve. If you're looking for a partner in your home sale, a person who will treat you and your home like family, then get in touch with Pam. There's a great deal of blood, sweat, and tears that went into your home. You should work with someone who understands and appreciates that. You should work with Pam. To call and talk to her is free. To have a consultation is free. To gain a partner in this venture is precious. Don't delay. Call Pam today. 817-505-5541 or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
This is an agent with some real common sense and zeal. She has a great attitude while also being very nice and friendly. Pamela has a great amount of experience and education, but more than that, she's just real.
Pam Melchione, 817-505-5541 or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Dr. Robert Jeffress. On hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church we call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity? And I paused for a second and I said, yes, it's called hell.
That's brutal.
Mean, there are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we can know, we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience. The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Great job by William Hyland. I thought that was pretty fascinating. You get into historical documentation and research, and the fact that that one particular phrase, you know, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, had more of an origin to George Mason. That's a fascinating fact. And I love the research that Mr. Hyland did. He did a great job. It's a great book. So I would encourage you to pick it up. And you always can shoot him off an email. You can always send us an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, if you have any questions about it or you want to get some more information or get some contact to it. I love stuff like that. Is that the nerdy part of me? Is that like the nerd? I think that's nerdy, isn't it? A little. All right. I don't know I think stuff like that's fascinating. I don't know why. I just find it interesting. Let's finish up today. Now, tomorrow, what do I got going tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow I'm talking about, it's really important. If all goes well, I'm going to talk about the turtle. So, yeah, you don't want to miss that. Boy, you can miss a lot of things, but on the David Spoon Experience, if you miss the turtle, that's like missing the Christmas tree story. You don't, there's some things you don't want to miss. You can miss a whole bunch of stuff and you can still either get it through the podcast or something else. But the turtle, okay. That's all I'm going to say to you. You don't want to miss the turtle. That's all I'm going to say. All right, I want to just finish up on that story we were talking about healing, because I want people to understand that from my point of view, I am a Baptist. Okay, I have a Pentecostal ordination and a Baptist ordination and a Charismatic ordination, and I was born and raised Jewish. The reason that's important is because I think that there's some really great merits and great theologies in all these camps. I'm kind of the guy that's going, and if I go to a buffet, I don't sit there and go, well, gosh, all they had in the one section was green beans. I mean, that's like so negative, right? I'm the guy that goes in there and goes, scallop potatoes. And tater tots. Wow! I'm in heaven. Okay, it's like that kind of thing. So I think you get to see some of the good. That's how I am in eschatology. I believe that the premillennial position will probably bear out more than not. But I am not so silly as to ignore the amillennial benefit of understanding the spiritualization of certain principles. I mean, you cannot tell me that it is acceptable to see right now that if you are a Christian, you're not buying into the world system, that the world system is making it harder for you right now to do business. I mean, what is it? They're shutting down Christians off of Facebook in regards to abortion issues for quoting scripture. I mean, somebody posted a scripture in Psalm 139 and they shut the account down. Like, uh-oh. Don't tell me this is a big issue. I just really think we need to be strongly focused on, you know, who the real enemy is and or isn't. And you're going to find out more and more as the persecution and prosecution gets worse and worse. At the end of that story, when Jesus was talking to his disciples that we were mentioning before, there was something fascinating that happened. I had mentioned, and I will say this 1,000 times again, look at the power to heal. The actual power comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you can't be a vehicle or a part of it, but this is coming from the Lord, okay? That's that. There's no argument or discussion. You and I we barely have power to breathe. I'm not even sure we have power to breathe. We certainly don't have power to breathe apart from God permitting it. That's in Acts 17. So the question is, you know, how do we engage or what do we do with it? And I think one of the things that Jesus says is kind of fascinating that kind of skips by us a little bit. Afterwards, in verse 19, it says, afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus privately, why could we not cast out that demon? Apparently, they knew it was a demon, and they couldn't cast it out. And so that I find that to be interesting. They asked Jesus privately. They wanted to know. They weren't doing that because they wanted to come off as well known or something. They're like, hey, what happened? We couldn't do that. That didn't work out. So Jesus said something really fascinating to me. He said, you didn't have enough faith. I assure you, if you had faith as small of a mustard seed, you could say the mountain moved from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible to you, for you. Or actually, nothing would be impossible is really where it stops. But I think it's fascinating that Jesus says you didn't have enough faith. And I just sometimes I focus in on just the particulars. And the next time I read it, I might focus in on something else. But just like everybody else, I'm at this point in my life where I'm focusing on certain elements. Jesus said you didn't have enough faith. You know what? There are many situations in my life that I didn't have enough faith for. But that doesn't mean I can't have faith for the future. In other words, I didn't have enough faith. Maybe they just didn't have enough faith, period, in order to get the job done. Okay. I can buy into that. Some translations talk about the fasting part of it. Maybe there was a time process. I don't know. There's a lot there, but here's what I know Jesus said, and I know I can understand. That the small faith that I had yesterday and the small faith that they had in that circumstance, it could be a bigger faith tomorrow. Tomorrow I can have a bigger faith than I had today. I can have a little bit more. You know, maybe it doesn't reach to the full point of a mustard seed, but if yesterday I had a quarter mustard seed, maybe today I can have a half a mustard seed. Maybe tomorrow I can have three quarters of a mustard seed. In other words, what it was is they didn't have enough faith, but that's done. That's over. Now it's, now you got to go forward. And you can't sit there and dwell on what you didn't have enough of, right? If you do that in relationship, you might as well just take a long walk off a short pier, because you'll never feel, you'll be, well, I don't know what happened. Hey, sometimes it's just like, it's too late. Move on. In the future, try and remember, it just takes a little bit of genuine faith to really change the circumstance. If you have faith, the Lord responds to that faith that you have. He may birth that faith. He may foster that faith. He may rise up that faith, but you got to be there to have faith. He wants you to engage with him. And what you can't do is anything about the past. So they didn't have enough faith. Bummer. Next time, have more. That's exactly the lesson I'm pulling out of that. You should have had more faith. You're right. Next time, have more. Okay. That's the lesson. In that circumstance, they didn't operate with enough genuine confidence that God would step in from heaven and change the circumstance that was right in front of them. Okay, well, let's have more confidence for that the next time. Let's all do that. Let's all be Christians who say, next time I'm going to have a little more faith, just a little bit more genuine faith. Because with a little bit of faith in the kingdom of God, there's a lot that can get done. And I want to be a part of that process. I want to be in that partnership with God. I love if God is working in people's lives, because it gives me hope that he works in my life. And sometimes my faith is just a little too small. Okay, well, that was yesterday. And that was a bummer. That didn't work out. Now, yesterday, dude. Now we got tomorrow. Let's have more faith for tomorrow. We didn't have enough in this circumstance. Let's have a little bit more this time. Next time go around, let's offer a little more confidence in God, that God is not just willing, but able. And is going to, maybe just a little bit, where you believe God a little bit more. Because that little bit can get you up to a mustard seed, and a mustard seed can change the impossible to possible. That's kind of cool. I think it's kind of cool. Yeah, what do I know? I'm just a Jewish guy trying to get to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Gonna take a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.